The story of David. King Saul was having terrible trouble with the Philistines again, but things had quickly settled into a stalemate with neither side gaining ground. There was a family, unimportant, in the insignificant little town of Bethlehem, whose father was a shepherd called Jesse. He had several sons, the youngest of whom was called David. David's older brothers went off to fight against the Philistines. Soon Jesse sent him to bring them food and to find out how they were doing. When the young boy arrived at the camp, his brothers were surprised. "David, what on earth are you doing here? You idiot, you should have left the sheep to the fend for themselves. Did you just wanted to come and watch the battle?" "No, no, no," said David. "Father told me to come and I've brought some food and what's more, and oh, look at the size of him." It was then that David saw the reason for the standoff. His name was Goliath and he was quite the biggest man anybody had ever seen. Over 9 feet tall, wearing 125 pounds of armour, he'd held the Israelite army off for days. The giant Philistine would stand in front of the battlefield and shout, "Well, what are you waiting for? I'm a Philistine, aren't I? And if we're at war, aren't we? So why don't you send someone down to fight me, if you think you're up to it, that is." It was very curious. Saul couldn't understand that the army of the living God could be stopped by one man, no matter how big he might be. David, who had just appeared on the scene, of course, had no idea about what had gone before. As his innocent but impetuous youth showed, he said, "What's the story here? He doesn't matter surely how big this man is. He's only one man. There's no way an army can advance just and be stopped by one man." All the other soldiers and his brothers said, "Well, there is no way the army can advance until we can get rid of him. He is just too big, too scary for anyone to face up to." And David replied, "Well, have you actually thought about sending someone to go and fight him? I mean, it's obvious, isn't it?" And David just would not let it go. And eventually, he caused such a fuss that he was taken to the man who could give him the answer he was after, the king himself. David wasn't too bothered. He still made his point. "This is absurd, Your Majesty. If all the men are too scared, I'll go and fight them for you." Saul was a bit taken aback. "No one doubts your bravery, David, is it? But you must face facts. Goliath is a giant, and there isn't a man in the army who could hope to defeat him in battle. I mean, have you seen how big he is? Your Majesty, with respect, I've looked after my father's sheep for years. If they were attacked, I'd defend them. I've fought lions and bears, so why should this Philistine dog be any different?" Eventually, possibly just to shut him up, Saul was persuaded, and he summoned his armourers and had him dressed for battle there and then. Indeed, Saul gave David his own armour to wear. It was a bit ridiculous. It was just a young boy. He could hardly move in the stuff. It was so heavy. He couldn't even lift Saul's sword. And in the end, he decided that he'd be better off without it. The next day, when day broke, Goliath had assumed his usual position in front of his army. And when Goliath had finally clapped his eyes on David, he went absolutely berserk. He wasn't exactly what he had been expecting. "You're sending a boy? Do you think I'm a dog and have sent a boy with a stick to chase me off? Come any closer and I'll tear your skin off." David stood up and said, "Ha, You've come armed the spear and the sword, but I'm here in the name of God. And that just goaded Goliath even further. He started charging down the hill towards David, shouting and swearing all the way. David, who was much more at ease with a slingshot than a sword, put a pebble in his sling that he used to scare away wolves with, and whirling it high in the air, he let fly as hard as he could. Whack! The big stone, pointed as it was, went straight between the eyes, and the giant fell down like a tree chopped asunder. And David took the giant's great big sword and hacked his head off, and he gave it to King Saul as a present. And so, as a reward, David went to live with the king. He played the harp and he sang, and his songs seemed to soothe his black moods. But it was clear that right from the start, Saul was afraid of David. He taught him how to fight with a sword, and he quickly learned how to defend himself in battle. And again, God gave him victory in the campaigns he led against the enemies. And eventually he became so popular that Saul's fear turned to jealousy. The troops in the army, of course, thought he was a great hero. Hooray for David! Saul has killed thousands, but David has killed tens of thousands. David, David, God is with you. If the people accepted him, it was because God had put his power in him. Just to complicate matters in the political intrigue, Saul's son, Jonathan, and David became like brothers. Jonathan gave David his own weapons, his own sword. They fought side by side, and they would have gladly died for one another. And of course, their friendship made Saul all the more jealous, and his jealousy turned to rage. One night the king had his servants keep watch over David. The plan would be to kill him the next day. Meantime, Michal, David's wife, who was also Saul's own daughter, helped him to escape. In all Israel, it seemed as the king was the only man who hated him. And so David became an outlaw, even although his own family of the king were on his side. They became his eyes and ears, and so he escaped from his clutches. And after many adventures, David found his way to the town of Nob. This was a key place for worship at the time, and he was certain that Ahimelech, the priest, would receive him. When he went in, the priest said, "David, what are you doing here? I mean, why are you on your own? Oh, said David. "Oh, you know, the king sent me. Only I've lost my sword. I don't suppose you've got a spare one, do you? A sword? And I don't suppose you've got anything to eat. I'm starving." Ahimelech said, "Oh, well, food, sorry. We weren't expecting any guests. There's nothing here except the bread and the altar." Oh, good. Oh, that'll do. Have you consecrated yourself according to holy law, I take it?" "Oh, yes, yes," said David. No problem. "Now, this sword, how heavy is this thing?" "David, don't you remember? That's Goliath's sword." The priest was a bit suspicious. "Are you sure the king sent you? You came here starving and without even a sword." "But... Ahimelech, the truth is, I'm here on a secret mission from the King Saul. No one knows except us." Or so David thought. Saul, in his increasing paranoia, had spies everywhere. And on hearing that David had made his way to Nob and had had a conversation with the priest, in his anger, Saul later slaughtered the whole town. Eventually, David made his home in caves, living the life of an outlaw. But gradually, men from all over Israel came to join him. the angry and the discontented, those in debt, survivors of Saul's attacks. They flocked to him, in all about 600 men, armed to the teeth and ready for trouble. A revolution, a rebellion was brewing. But still, the small band was, relatively speaking, no match for Saul's army. But Saul was so busy off fighting the Philistines that David and his companions were left alone, although they did have some narrow escapes. One time Saul came by with the entire army behind him, and the men scarcely had time to hide. They hid at the back of a cave, keeping quiet. But then Saul is caught short. Well, he's the king, he can't do it in front of his men, so he comes into the cave. Imagine that, he's got the whole army looking for the rebels, and there we were in the cave with him. David could have killed him there and then. He actually reached out and cut off a piece of his cloak just to prove his point. The king was after their blood, and every day they stayed in Israel, they risked their necks. So they left Israel and in fact went to join the Philistines as mercenaries, who were, of course, delighted. "You've done a wise thing, David. I didn't know Israelites were so shrewd." And the Philistines hired them to attack Israel. But instead, without the Philistines' knowledge, they attacked some other tribes, Israel's older enemies, and they left no one alive to tell any tales.